This is the sound of a ventilator. And for Dr. Rafael Campo, it's been the soundtrack of the pandemic.
The doctor's song. The ventilators rise and fall. The ambulances' siren call. The blue gowns rustle down the hall. They page us and we go. The wail of loved ones. Silence then. Until the next alarm. A pulsatile bleat. Almost like an infant's cry. A team in baggy scrubs slogs by. The coughing like a symphony a virus might conduct. We listen as if the breath sounds might not lessen, as if the body we are given protected us. The stethoscope won't be an instrument of hope. It merely amplifies the gallop, makes audible the failing heart. The doctor's song is not heroic. Sing like the needle. Sing like hurt.
Rafael Campo is familiar with epidemics. He started practicing medicine at the height of the AIDS-HIV crisis. And he's been on the front lines of COVID-19 at Harvard Medical School and at Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. He is also an award-winning poet, one of those rare hybrid physician poets who sees medicine and writing as different modes of healing. Shannon Henry Kleiber reached him in between patients.
So, Rafael, how are you? How are you doing right now? With being a doctor through this entire pandemic?
You know, of course, it's been such a challenging time for so many of us. And I think for me as a doc and for other doctors, it's been particularly cruel because the pandemic and the isolation and distancing that it has imposed on all of us has really alienated us in many ways from our patients and kept us more than 6 feet away. In settings like the ICU, even in the clinic where I spend most of my time caring for patients, we're masked, we're gowned, we're removed from the presence of one another in ways that I think really can interfere with empathetic care, the kind of care that I think is so important. I have to say that my connection to poetry and through poetry to my patients has really probably been the most sustaining thing in my life as I've continued to work with folks who are ill with COVID-19 infection.
I read that you're writing poems for those who have lost their voices in a literal sense, those who've died, which I thought is so powerful. Is that your way of grieving?
Yes, you know, that is one way I think poetry helps us. And probably the oldest poems that we know were elegies, were expressions of grief. We're called to grieve through language. And that language allows us, poetic language in particular, allows us to create a kind of container for our grief, or if not a container, a way of making sense of our grief. Death comes for all of us. And poetry, again, I think, makes some kind of sense of it by narrating it, at least, I think helps ease our own pain as we confront death.
Were there many poems written after other times of great death and illness?
Yes, absolutely so. And I think of the AIDS pandemic, and I remember so clearly when I was training to become a doctor, I was an intern and a resident at the University of California in San Francisco at the height of the crisis. And I remember activists in the street chanting, silence equals death, silence equals death. And those voices, the poems that came out of that moment, actually were sustaining, I think, in a very real sense. Not only did they help us bear witness to, you know, the tremendous suffering in communities that were most impacted by HIV and AIDS. But also, I think they actually spurred scientific research that led to some of the medicines that we have now that are so effective in treating the infection. And that poetry, I think, really saved lives. In some, I think, very real sense, saved my own life. That was life-sustaining for me.
Tell me more. How did it save your own life?
Well, you know, I felt so hopeless then as a gay man and member of the Latinx communities, two communities that were particularly impacted by HIV and AIDS. I felt, you know, that it could be me. And that hopelessness was really dangerous. And so discovering voices and engaging with those voices helped me think about what I might do to be a healer, to stay on this path of becoming a doctor and not give up, not allow this dread disease to take me too. And so in that sense, it really did save my life, that language. And it also, I think, helped me really to become a better doctor. It really helped me retain my or preserve my humanity as a doctor.
It seems like we have a lot of deferred grief that's happening right now. And I lost someone early on from COVID, my best friend's mother, who was really my second mom growing up. And I just feel like I haven't seen her for a long time. And I haven't seen my friend for a long time either. And I just haven't grieved.
It's interesting what you say, Shannon, about, you know, that sense of a kind of deferred grief, because so often we can't be present with our loved ones when they're facing the end of life because of the fear of contagion, and that sort of immediacy is lost. So yeah, so I think poetry for me is a way of revisiting in a way those lost moments or projecting myself imaginatively into those moments where one can still, I think, create a sense of connection and allow oneself to feel what wasn't allowed in that actual moment. It also goes back to what elegy does since the beginning of human history. It enlivens, it brings back the lost loved one in a way that's really almost alchemical. And the person that we've lost in some ways, I think, lives again.
When you felt despondent during this time, do you sit down and write a poem, or how does it work? Do you say, maybe try, and it makes you feel a little better even if the poem doesn't come right away?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm so exhausted, I can't actually write.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that these experiences, being in the clinic with patients, is itself like being inside a poem in so many ways. And so the poems are being written sort of all the time as I'm present with my patients. So when I do finally, you know, have, I don't know, 10 minutes to sit down and usually late at night, and I'm not so exhausted that I can't keep my eyes open, I feel compelled to write, to prepare myself for the next day. And writing is healing. I almost can't resist. I can't imagine not writing. I think of the two things that I do as really inextricably interrelated. I can't imagine doing one without the other.
You're giving some of these patients more voice, or a voice that they otherwise won't have.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I am able to do that. I don't want to ever, you know, in a sort of glib or presumptuous way say, oh, I know this other person's experience and I can articulate it for them. But I definitely, at the same time, have a sense that, you know, how many patients of mine have been really literally silenced by that endotracheal tube being placed through the vocal cords when they go on a ventilator. And so who is there to speak to their pain, who can be a witness to that suffering?
I wanted to ask you to read Vaccination. And if you could also just tell me first a little bit about when you wrote this and if anything kind of got you to think about writing this poem.
Yeah, this is actually a very, very recent poem, and it was inspired actually by the story of one of my patients whose sister actually was dying of COVID. And he said to me, you know, he just wanted to see her in the ICU. And the doctors said it was impossible. He couldn't see her. You know, she was dying essentially alone in the ICU. And he said, I just wanted to smash the glass wall. I could see into the ICU, but I couldn't see my sister. I couldn't visit her. So that resonated with some of my own experiences in caring for patients and feeling, you know, that distance and wanting to get through it. So this is a poem, again, just wrote it a couple of weeks ago. Vaccination. Immunity, supposedly, through pain. I see their faces like I'm there again. The ICU, its brightness crystalline, controlled fragility. I want to smash the panes of glass, break through, tear off my mask. Somewhere, the nurse's station maybe, Bach plays, like a memory, like someone dying, like viruses artfully multiplying. I still remember how hard I was trying to not let one more die, but it was AIDS back then, and so instead, we busily made quilts. Dreams, supposedly, or grief, betrayed us to ourselves and let us hope again. I see their faces and I'm there. Their pain is mirrored in the sink's metallic drain as once again I wash my hands, my eyes above my mask, same blur I recognize. Immunity, elusive, still contrives to make us think we might live long enough to find the cure. Across my latex gloves, his skin feels alien, but still craves touch, at least as I imagine it. So keen this interplay of notes, the major key and minor fall, the prick of the vaccine.
Wow, that's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And you feel like you're there. I mean, you just kind of brought me right into that spot. I feel like I could hear it and see it.
Oh, well, if that happened, then I think that's what poetry can do for all of us is, you know, bring us into that space where we can't go into the ICU. But yet we can, and I think poetry helps us transcend those distances and those barriers.
Physician poet Rafael Campo. He's written 5 award-winning poetry collections and 2 nonfiction books, The Poetry of Healing and The Healing Art. He practices medicine at Harvard Medical School and Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, and he was talking with Shannon Henry Kleiber.